Good morning, every one of you. Praise God. So good to be back again to Perth. I came to Perth 1994. Right? We were all very crazy and hungry for God, chasing after the laughter, yeah, in the Holy Spirit. So we chased the speaker all the way. All right, Ronnie Howard Brown to Singapore. And after that, we came all the way to Perth, all right? Pastor Mei-Chin, Pastor Joseph went for the big conference. And after that, you know, we remained very good friends in the ministry because we have something very common. We love the Lord, and we are also very crazy about the things of God. Amen. And so this is my 10th trip, all right, 10th trip to Perth. And God has been good and really wonderful. All right, and so I want to thank Pastor Joseph and Pastor Mei-Chin to invite me back again to Perth. All right, praise the Lord. Now, before I share with you what God has put within my heart, I would like to share my little ministry, all right, that is in Malaysia. And after when you watch these 3 minutes of DVD of the prayer movement, that is part of the prayer movement in Malaysia, I pray that you will pray for my country. My country needs prayer. Malaysia is going through such a very difficult and hard time. Our currency has dropped 30%. Country is rampant with corruption, injustice. Islamization has been going on for 40 years, and so many things are happening in our nation. And this year is a very crucial year because it's our election year. And I pray that after when you watch the DVD, you pray for my land. You pray for my country. All right, thank you. Our very big crusades. Many people were healed of cancer. This brother had 5 growth tumor in his body and totally disappeared. This is a prayer school. I take a prayer school all over the nation. A prayer drive. We go all over Malaysia and pray over the land. Once a year, we have the 21-day fasting and prayer for about 350 churches. The prayer conferences. Cindy Jacob came and prophesied over the land. Rebecca Greenwood came and prophesied over the land. We gather hundreds and thousands of people and tens of thousands of people to pray for the land of Malaysia. trying to raise 10,000 intercessors. All right, with the assemblies of God to stand to pray for the nation. As you watch this DVD, I would like you to know that for the last many years, the Malaysian church actually has been a sleeping church, sleeping giant. Spirit of slumber was very strong over the church, all right, in Malaysia. But we thank the Lord for this one of the men, all right, one of the pastors that you saw in the DVD, Pastor Julius Subi, all right, from Kenya. Right, he came with a prophecy. The Lord showed him, all right, the judgment is about to come to Malaysia. So the last 5 years, he came to Malaysia, and I took him to all over, as you watch the DVD, all right, I took him to all over Malaysia, all the towns. We touched almost every state except Perlis, all right, to hold many conferences, all right, smaller conferences, a few hundreds, and big conferences, a few thousand, and we stir the hearts of the people to pray. I want you to know that the prayer in Malaysia has risen, level has risen, and we pray that God will break the spirit of slumber over the sleeping church that is in Malaysia. Amen. And if the church in Malaysia does not rise up to pray, persecution will come upon our nation. Persecution, all right, will come upon the church of the Lord Jesus. And this coming election is going to be so very crucial, all right, for all of us that are in Malaysia. I don't know how many of you are still Malaysian, and many of you came from Malaysia. And I would like to ask you to stand together with me. Stretch your hand to Pastor Joseph, all right, and Pastor Machin. And I ask the church evangel to remember us in prayer this morning, will you? All right, let's all rise up. Pastor Joseph, Pastor Machin, will you just come, each one of you, take the mic and pray over Malaysia so that I can go back and tell the people, even the people in Perth, pray for our nation, that God will change our nation. Our nation will not be the same anymore. That God will bring such a breakthrough in Malaysia. Amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for us that we have been born in the nation. We have seen independence. We have seen thus far the nation growing up. Even at this time, we have seen the in and out and the setbacks and the polarization and the injustice we have seen. And Lord, we also seen the church doing its part and slacking. This morning, Lord, we agree together with Pastor Teo right now, and we lift our prayers and our cries for the nation of Malaysia. And he said, Lord, you hear the prayer, because the church is the only living church that can change the destiny. We are the only people on earth. Lord, our prayers are heard. And Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus and through the blood of Jesus. We ask you, Lord, to hear our cry, that you'll make divine intervention in the nation, in every sector, in every place, particularly this year in the election, that your will, your kingdom come, and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Our prayer is you raise up Christians in parliament. Lord, cause your people to stand up, O God, and be in the place of lawmaking situation and parliaments and the states, and make the declaration true that there will be, because it's built on a Westminster constitution, which is a Christian constitution. I pray the rule of law will come back again to the Ten Commandments. The rule of law and everything, administration, will come back to what God has placed it. And we declare Malaysia washed by the blood of Jesus. Washed by the blood of Jesus. Washed by the blood of Jesus. Root out corruption. Root out injustice. Root out everything. And let God reign. Our God reign. Let your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We pray and ask it in Jesus' name.
Amen. Yes. Not by might, not by power, is by your Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And Lord God, on behalf, also together with, on behalf of the Australian churches, we agree with, yes, Malaysia.
Yes.
We are Malaysia, that Pastor Teo is here. We, yes, ask for forgiveness. Yes. Many of your church leaders have gone after the lust of the eyes. lust of the flesh and pride of life. And Lord, when you bless them, they forgot. We forgot. We repent. When we repent, you will outpour your spirit. Forgive us.
Yes.
Forgive us.
Yes.
Forgive us. Yes. Forgive us. And I pray for fear of the Lord and humility mightily work, especially in the hearts of church leaders. And the chase after honor, life, riches. And you told us in your word, by humility and the fear of the Lord, you have this. And Lord, fear of the Lord is to obey. Obey. Obey your word. Not just obey by doing great things, demonstrate power, miracles, but obey the little thing each day you speak. Lord, awaken the church of Jesus Christ. Just as Paul said, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercy of God, present yourself holy, acceptable. This is real service unto you. And Lord, that our mind so renew,
yes.
So renew. I pray for heart of God,
amen.
Mind of Christ. Heart of God, mind of Christ. Heart
yes.
of God, mind of Christ.
Yes.
Lord, we know the mind of Christ can be
yes.
formed.
Amen.
Only when we obey your word measure
yes.
by measure.
Amen.
You say the measure I give to you, you do it, more will be given. If the measure you've given to us in little thing, we don't do, we try to do great things, all that you have spoken will be forgotten.
Yes.
Lord, forgive.
Yes.
Forgive. Forgive. We ask for the blood of Jesus.
Yes.
Lord God, stir,
yes.
stir in the hearts of the leaders.
Amen.
Stir in the hearts of the leaders to seek after what you have told us, daily asking for direction.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus, let Malaysian churches, especially the leaders, rise.
Yes.
Rise, hearing the word of God, and promptly do it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for praying. Thank you for praying. God bless you. Thank the Lord for the privilege to share with you. All right, the need in Malaysia, to pray for Malaysia. But also for this time that I can just share with you some of the things the Lord did in my life. That enabled me to go over to Malaysia. All right, to do what I am doing now. Even at this moment, we are also praying for every constituency in Malaysia, 222 constituencies all over Malaysia, walking the land, praying the land, going through 24/7, all right, raising up thousands and thousands of people to cover the land in prayer. All right, and so God is really good and God is really wonderful. I thank God for a wonderful experience that I have with Jesus. All right, today I want to just share what God put within my heart. All right, especially turn with me to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12, verse 7 to verse 8. All right, if you can put it up on the board, it'd be good. It's okay if I stand here. It says, then the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, to your descendants, I will give this land. And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. And he moved from there to the mountain east of Bethel. And he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. chapter 13, verse 4, to the place where the altar which he had made there at first, and there Abraham called on the name of the Lord. Verse 18, then Abraham moved his tent and went and dwelt by the terebinth tree in Mir, and which is in Hebron, and he built an altar there to the Lord. Abraham has always been an altar builder. An altar builder. Why? Because the Bible says the Lord gave Abraham a very great promise. He says in Genesis chapter 12, verse 2, he says, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curse you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And so God gave Abraham a great blessing, and God gave Abraham a great destiny. And in order for Abraham to fulfill the destiny that God has for him, Abraham built many altars. The Bible says in verse 7, especially when the Lord appeared to him. And I believe that God has great destiny for us. It doesn't matter what kind of background that we come from, but I'm sure God loves us and he has a wonderful plan for our lives. And you know, many times when God reveals his plan and purposes for us, I believe that it will take us to build the altars. All right, our own altar, personal altar, to fulfill the plan and the purposes of God. I thank God today, you know, I'm able to travel the nations. It was because I met Jesus when I was 17 years old. As God appeared to Abraham, God also made himself known to me when I was 17 years old. I came from a very staunch Buddhist family. My grandfather came from China more than 100 years ago to Malaysia, and he brought an idols with him. So he put the idols under the tree, and the whole village went to the idols and they prayed. And so finally, we built a temple. I came from such a strong idolatrous family, you know. But as my family, they were worshipping those idols, I saw many things happen in my family, especially in in Exodus chapter 20. All right, verse 1 to verse 5, we read the Bible. God says, you know, if you bow down to those idols, all right, God's curse will come upon 3 to 4 generations. And so every idolatrous family that have been bowing down to idols definitely will be under the curse. All right, and so I saw my family curse. The first curse that came upon my family was the early death, very early death a symptom. All right, very early death things. My father died when he was 43 years old. My brother, second generation, my brother died when he was 47. The third generation, my two nephews, one died at the age of 24, and the other one died at the age of 37. And so because of the early death situation, all right, it brought a lot of situation in our families. And the other curse was my grandfather was a very rich man, but he had another problem, another curse that was upon gambling. All right, so the gambling passed on to my father before my father passed away, and my grandfather gambled away all his properties. All right, all his properties. And so as I was growing up, I was asking myself, I came from such a staunch Buddhist family. How come there was no blessing in my family? And sicknesses, you know, all kinds, cancer, heart attack, all kinds of problems were in this idolatrous family. So I started to ask myself this question. When my best friend died at the age of 14 years old, where do I come from? Where do I go when I die? And why am I on this earth? And in my heart, I was searching for the true and the living God. Can there be a God? Can a God be real? Where is he? Can I know him? One day I cycled to a Catholic church, and it was at night. I knelt down by the field and I started to look to heaven and say, is there a God? Where do I come from? And so I started to find out, who is this God? Where can I find him? And so I look up to the sky and say, God, if you are there, if you are alive, if there is actually a true and a living God, I want to know you. And you know, God is great, God is wonderful. God heard my prayer. 2 months later on, I shifted in front of a Christian's house. And she was the one who brought me to church. At the age of 17 years old, I walked into a very small little church. And the preacher came all the way from America and told me about Jesus Christ. I came to the altar. I gave my heart to Jesus. And from that day onward, when I left the church, I knew I was a new creation. Amen. I knew just deep down in my heart, there was so much of peace, there's so much of joy, there's so much of love that is in my heart. Just like the Bible says, anybody that's in Christ, all things passed away, everything became new. And I knew I was a child of God. You know, the wonderful thing was not only that, but was something that was really, really wonderful. I went to the church, you know, and my pastor's wife asked me, do you want to be baptized with the Holy Spirit? I don't even know who's the Holy Spirit. And I said, anything that Jesus gave me, I want. And she just laid her hand and prayed for me. And the Holy Spirit came upon me. You know, as the Holy Spirit came upon me, the Holy Spirit is like a river. Like a river. You can drink and drink and drink and drink. You can have a small little spoonful, or you can have a big cup, or you can have a big pail. I spoke in tongues for 1 hour. Jesus said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. But something very powerful that the Holy Spirit did for me was in Romans chapter 5, verse 5. The love of God is shed through our hearts by the Holy Spirit. The love of God. You know, in the book of Ephesians, it describes the love of God, isn't it? That we may have the fullness of the love of God. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17, the love of God has a height, it has a width, it has a length, it has a depth. Right? How great is the love of God? Human mind can never understand the love of God because it's supernatural. Amen. It is only through the Holy Spirit. The love of God is being brought into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Wow, I felt God loved me so very, very much. And that was that love that drew me to Jesus Christ in prayer day after day, day after day. From that night onwards, when I went home, I have no desire to sleep. I pray. Right? So that prayer, you know, Abraham built the altar. The Bible says in 3 times. All right, Abraham was called the friend of God. The friend of God. And I thank God it was the love of God, all right, that drew me to the presence of God. You know, every day from the time when I was 17 years old, I prayed for 3 hours. Such a desire for God, you know. Such a desire to be in the presence of God. I finished my homework quickly from 11 o'clock until 2 o'clock in the morning, and I will be praying and praying and praying in the presence of God. You know, prayer has to be a delight before it can be a desire. How can the prayer be a delight? Because the Bible says in Psalms, all right, chapter 16, verse 11, in my presence there is fullness of joy. When you get into God's presence, it's fullness of joy. I will show you the path of life. In my presence there is fullness of joy. And so when you get into God's presence, you don't want anything. I cut off my television program. I cut off my movie program. I cut all my birthday parties. I cut shopping program. Everything I cut off. Because the only thing that my heart's delight to do is in the presence of God. Because there is so much of joy. So much of joy. Amen. All right. And so, you know, Abraham, all right, was called a friend of God. He built relationship with God. I pray, you know, it is the starting point for all of us. Amen. It's a starting point for all of us. And it's so important for us to keep that love for Christ in our hearts, you know. My mother saw the change that I had. And my mother saw, she was so frightened. She went to tell the neighbor, my daughter has gone mad. She went to the church. Hokkien said, siao liao ah, siao liao. Wei zha bo kia, siao liao ah. My daughter has gone mad. She went to church 8 times a week. How many of you went to church 8 times a week? She prayed at least 3 hours a day. And every Saturday, she took the bicycle and she cycled around all the housing places and knocked at the door and tell people about Jesus. And every Sunday, all the money we give to her, she pour into the offering bag. Oh, my daughter is crazy. So she went to the temple and she brought so many talismans, you know. The Chinese people, they went to the medium and then they asked for the talisman to charm me, all right, to put the curse on me and charm me so that I would not be so crazy for Jesus, all right. And so what happened was, from that onwards, every morning my mother make me black coffee, all right, because she burned all the Joss paper and put in the coffee for me. So in the beginning, I didn't know, so I was drinking and drinking and drinking. And then she was watching me. She said, my daughter is going to be so crazy like that. But there was no change in me. I was still going to church. I was still loving Jesus. I was still praying. Because the Bible says, greater is he that is in me than he that is of the world. Amen. All the curses, all the power of darkness could not affect me. All right? Because Jesus in me is greater than anything. Amen. And so I praise the Lord. All right? For the experience. For when Jesus, you know, found me, it was so wonderful. And so I pray, God, help me to keep that love, because it is only that love that would help us to draw us close to Jesus. Amen. All right. So we have to be very careful that we don't lose the first love. We don't lose the first love, because once we lost the first love, all right, we will stop to be a weakness. Amen. Just 2014, God gave me a trip, all right, to Turkey. I went to Turkey. The reason I went to Turkey is to study the seven churches in the book of Revelation. And I went there, I was so sad, I came back crying, because all the seven churches were buried underground. 60 years after the resurrection, Jesus spoke to the first church, the book of Ephesus. You have so much of works, but you have lost your first love. You remember where you have fallen. Repent, amen, and return. If you don't, I will remove your lampstand. And then the last church was in Revelation chapter 3. I saw the last church. I visited the last church. Laodicea. You are not hot. You are not cold. You are lukewarm. And because you are lukewarm, I will spit you out of my mouth. True or not? But the churches did not repent. And shortly after Jesus' warning through the book of Revelation, there was an earthquake. It was so big and strong. The seven churches today are buried underground. Turkey today have 0.0002% Christians. It was so sad. I came back crying and said, God, help me not to lose my first love. Amen. Not to lose my first love. Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14 says something like that. The love of God. All right, the love of God constrained me. The word constrained means sunako. The love of God in my heart is like a high temperature. That is why God says, you cannot be not hot, not cold, you cannot be lukewarm. You must be hot with the love of God. Amen. Amen. Praise God. And so I thank God, you know, I had that wonderful experience with God that kept me for many, many, many years. What did Jesus say in John chapter 15? Verse 5, abide in me and I in you. Apart from me, you can do nothing. But if you abide in me, you will bear 4 fruits. 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold, right? Yes, I pray that through the love of God, God will keep us in the place of building our altars and building that relationship with God. Amen. Let it be a place of fellowship. Let it be a place of loving Christ. Let it be a place that we just come every morning when we get up. All right, just say, Lord, I love you, and spend time with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You know, Abraham's second altar became an altar. It was an altar of petition, especially in Genesis chapter 15. All right, verse 1 to 2. Abraham was asking for a son, and he said, God, give me a son. All right. And so if we have an altar, it's so easy, because that altar became an altar of petition. Now, the word petition means asking for your own need, your own request. All right? You have many, many needs. All of us in life have many, many needs, isn't it? And we can always take our needs to God in prayer, because God said, ask and it shall be given. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 to 9. Ask and it shall be given. All right. Knock. All right. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Amen. All right. Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3. Ask of me and I will answer you. And I will show you great and mighty things. Isn't it? All right. And so God promised, all right, that he will answer our prayer. And so if we have an altar, all right, became a place of petition. I remember when, after I became a Christian for many years, one day God spoke to me, I want you to be a pastor, to be a preacher. And in the 70s, there are not many lady pastors, all right? People rejected women pastors, all right? But yet, when God called me, I said, I wanted to be a pastor. And so my mother was very upset, all right? And my mother beat me up. My family beat me up. And my mother was so upset that one night she went into the toilet. She was about to hang herself, all right? And somehow, you know, my brother-in-law, 2 o'clock in the morning, went into the toilet and saw her. And so my whole family was so upset with me, they beat me up that night and kicked me out, all right? And for years and years, I was not allowed to return home to my house. And so when I went to Bible school, I did not know where my money come from. You know, where can my school fees, you know, my toothpaste, my soap, all the things that I needed, my bus fare, I didn't know. But, you know, I always remember the word of God in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Amen. God says, we have a heavenly Father, all right, who cares for us. God says, look at all the lilies in the field. Look at the sparrow. They do not work, but yet God every day give them beautiful clothes. God feed them. All right. God says, don't worry. Just seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Amen. And so I remember I was in Bible school. I have no bus fare to go home. And so I knelt by, and I started to say, God, please provide for me. And after I prayed, I saw there was some money that was on the bench. I didn't know whether an angel came or a lecturer came or somebody came, but the money was there. So I knew that I could trust God. So I trusted God all my life, right? I thank God that when I was kicked out by my family, I learned to depend on God, even on small, little things. But there were times that I have to trust God for very big things. I remember the first trip I wanted to come out of Malaysia to Korea. There was a great revival going on in Korea. 1950, Korea zero Christians. Today, Korea has about 30% Christians. I saw revival in Korea, so beautiful. The first time I flew into Seoul, I saw such all the beautiful cross, red, white, all hanging in the air. Praise God of that revival. So I said, I want to go to Korea. But I didn't have money. I needed 3,000 Malaysian ringgit. And there was a lot of money for me. Really, lots of money for me. And so what happened? I remember the word of God. And so I knelt down that night by the bedside. And I said, Lord, I want to go to Korea. You know, and after that, I committed it to the Lord. The next morning, I heard a knock on my door. And I opened the door. I saw this woman. She's the wife of the Presbyterian Church. And she said, Pastor, I want to come and thank you. My daughter came to your church 4 years old. And she is safe. Really safe. Changed. Today, this girl is an assistant pastor of a church of 2,000 people in Penang. And before she left, she opened her purse. She said, Pastor, last night when I was praying, God told me that you are going somewhere. And today, I send you the money. Wonderful, isn't it? To know that people send you the money. And so she opened her purse and she put a big stack of money, all right, on the bed for me. You know, and when she left, I counted the money. Counted. Wow, $3,000. Praise God. Now, that was my first trip to Korea. You know, when the Spirit of the Lord came upon me, the Lord called me, first of all, not only to have fellowship with Jesus, but God called me to be an intercessor. And God will put burdens in my heart for China, for Mongolia, for India, for Indonesia, for Pakistan, all right, for China, for all the many nations of the world, right? As one, sometimes I say, God, I would like to travel to those nations, but I don't have money. But I thank God for that miracle, the miracle that God sent me to Korea. Today, I have gone to Korea 3 times. I want you to know, today I have traveled at least 34 nations. All right, I believe that God will open more doors for me to travel the nations as I pray. Amen. I pastor a small little church, not a very big church, but yet at the same time, I can see the provision of God. Amen. Amen. When I wanted to go to China, God will speak to people's heart and give me the money to make a trip to China. And because of that, God was able to open the doors of the nation to me. And I believe that God will open more doors because I serve a great God. The resources is not in me, but resources is in God. Even today, as you have given up an offering unto God as a seed faith, I believe that we are tapping into the unending supply of God. Amen. Amen. We cannot look at our resources because our resources will run dry. And some of us don't even have resources. Amen. But we have faith, we have prayer, we have the word of God, and we have a God that is alive. Amen. And so I thank God. I really thank God. You know, and because of that altar, I was able to call unto the name of the Lord, and whatever needs I have, the Lord answer my needs. All right, I cannot stay here and talk to you about all the miracles, all the answers that God has provided, but I want you to know that it has been really wonderful to know Jesus and you know, to be able to serve God. Amen. Amen. Now, the third altars that Abraham had became an altar of intercession. Genesis chapter 18. Altar of intercession. Intercession means praying for other people, praying for the needs of other people, praying that they will come to God. Because at that time, Sodom and Gomorrah was in homosexuality, right? And God had to send the fire and burn them. So sad today, you know, so many things were happening, all right? And so what happened was, so suddenly, especially in verse 17, God, you know, told himself, I'm about to burn this city. Can I keep it from Abraham? Can I keep it from Abraham? Now that is wonderful, isn't it? Before God wanted to destroy a city or a town or something like that, God must tell you why, huh? Because you are God's friend, ma. True or not? Yes, because you are God's friend. Amen. Especially when many of us came from idolatrous family and our family is going to die, they're going to have an accident, you know, something is going to happen to them. God will tell you, you know, I came from that idolatrous family. When I became a Christian, I was kicked out by my family. But when I was filled with the Holy Spirit and in prayer, I remember my family. My mother was in the temple. My brother was chairman of the temple. I have a sister who was in the Japanese God believer. And you know, there were times that was on my knee and I would be crying and I would be weeping for them. I said, God, they are lost. They don't know you. My mother is going to die and go to hell. My sister is going to die and go to hell. Many of them are going to die early because there's a curse in my family. And so as I begin to pray and pray for them and pray for them, one day I was in my sister's, one of my sister's house. I was worshiping the Lord. Hura barianda la masanda, filled by the Holy Spirit, praying in tongues, 12 o'clock in the early morning. My sister was in the room. Pray to the Japanese God. And she didn't sleep also. Then I said, oh Lord, my sister still has not believed you. God says, you just pray and I will work. True enough, 2 weeks after that, there was a call from the hospital. My sister went to the clinic and the doctor said, I can see there's a growth in your womb, all right, in your uterus. And the doctor put in a very sharp object. And finally, you know, her uterus burst, all right, and she was in danger. So they sent her, all right, to the hospital and they had an emergency operation. Right, and my sister was in the hospital, and after that she had fever, and whatever that's washed up, so started to open up, and the killing up again, and there was so much of complication. After 1 month's time, my brother-in-law came and asked me, you know, came so sad. He says, the doctor told me that your sister is going to die. They have tried whatever they have to help her, but so much of complication. And he asked me one question. Is your Jesus alive? Can your Jesus save my wife? Because my younger son is only 2 years old. My sister had 4 children. And so I said, yes, my Jesus is alive. My Jesus can save my sister. That if she believes in Jesus, she will not have to die. My brother-in-law said, all right, if your Jesus can save your sister, I allow her to be a Christian. So I went to the hospital, shared the gospel with my sister. She accepted the Lord, and I lay my hand and prayed, and believe that they that lay hand on the sick shall recover. Amen. When the doctors has given up hope, Jesus is a greater hope. Amen. Amen. So I laid my hand on my sister, and within 1 week, my sister was saved. When my sister was healed by the power of God, and my sister is still alive today. She lives in America with her children. Amen. Amen. My sister's not the only one who got saved. 10 of my families came to the Lord. Amen. All right, because we became, you know, the altar became a place of intercession. I'm sure many of us today, our parents, our father, our mother, our children, our relative today are so strong, all right, in idolatry, and they are not safe. And I pray that God will give us the compassion of Jesus to pray for them. Amen. Until they got safe. Amen. All right, the last one. All right, Abraham's altar was the altar of sacrifice. All right, that is the climax of Abraham's altar. Especially in Genesis chapter 22, the Lord came and said, Abraham, give me your son, bring your son. All right, your only son, the son that you love. And Abraham took Isaac to Mount Moriah. And Abraham was about, you know, to kill the son and put him as a sacrifice. You know, and then the Lord appeared to Abraham as God, Jehovah Jireh, the God that provides. You know, if you have an altar, your altar must be an altar of sacrifice. This morning, Pastor Mei Chin spoke to the young people and all of us in Romans chapter 1 and 2. Amen. Offer ourselves as a living sacrifice. Every morning, you offer yourself to God and say, Lord, this is my body, my mind, my soul, my spirit. Everything I gave to you. Amen. Why? Because God is a consuming fire. Amen. You want revival in your life? You want revival in your family? You want revival for the nation? Especially in 1 Kings chapter 18. God says, Elijah, go to the mountain. Call the nation of Israel to repentance. Amen. And before that, God says, I am a consuming fire. I want to come. But when I come, the altar is empty. And when the altar is empty, the fire cannot burn, right? And so, you know, Elijah had to repair the broken altars. Repair the broken altars and put all the sacrifice. Then as Elijah prayed, God as a fire came and burned the sacrifice. Amen. Amen. And so, you know, are you going to be that sacrifice? All right, when God asks you, are you going to say, yes, God, I want to be the sacrifice. Amen. Until we come to the point that we say, yes, Lord, that we are the sacrifice. All right, our altars, all right, will be lacking in so many things. Amen. And so we say, God, here am I today. I give myself to you. Amen. As a living sacrifice. You know, even today when Pastor Mei Chin asked for the offering of Pastor Joseph, you know, we thank God. I thank God You know, this time I came, it's so exciting that the church is buying building. I believe that God will provide. Amen. God will provide. I had to buy my first building. All right, now we are about to buy our second building. Was about to buy our first building. After I planted many churches, God told me it's time to buy a building. You know, the church was not very big, but I needed at least 1 million. 1 million. And I didn't have that million. And so that day, we were taking a faith promise pledge. And so I was about, you know, to write the amount. The Holy Spirit asked me, today, how much are you going to give? That I told the Lord, this is how much. The Lord says, this is not what I want. Then I said, Lord, how much you want? And then the Lord wrote a big word in front of me. A-L-L. Oh. You know, for 20 years when I served the Lord, I didn't buy a car, I didn't buy a house, I have nothing. I didn't buy anything for myself. I put all the money into planting the church, doing the word of God. And I save up a little bit of money, all right, as a deposit for my retired home. When I'm there, when I retired, I want to have a house, all right? And so what happened? So that was set aside for God, for myself. And the day when the Lord says, oh, you know what happened? I started to cry. I cry. I said, Lord, I have served you 20 years. I didn't buy anything for myself. And now you want the little thing that I have, my house, and give it away to you as a sacrifice so that you can have the church. And you know, as I begin to say that, the Lord asked me this question. Do you love me more than this? If you don't give me your all, you are not worthy to serve me. You know, and quickly I wiped my tears. I wrote down everything. All right, and went to the bank, took out all my life savings, and gave it to the church. And within 2 years, the Lord gave us 1 million to buy our buildings. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. You know, yesterday I was talking to Pastor Machin. When I went to that part of my ministry in Johor, the little town that I was serving, we started 7 other churches. When I went there, there was no church, there was not nobody, there was no Christians. But after about 20 years, we have hundreds of Christians, and we have at least 5 to 7 churches there. And today, we have properties that are worth at least $8 million. Amen. Because God is a great God. God is a wonderful God. Not because what we have, but because of what God has. Amen. God is a wonderful and a wonderful God. And so I thank God. You know, the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Give it to Jesus. Transfer into the hand of God. It will multiply and multiply and multiply. Praise the Lord. And so, you know, so today, I just pray that God will help each one of you. That you will really say, God, help me today. I want to give my life as a sacrifice to you. I want to lay my life at the altar and give myself to Jesus. You just don't know what God will make out of you. Amen. How God's Holy Spirit is going to fill you and touch you and use you to bring your family to the Lord, to touch the community and bring up the hearts of many thousands and hundreds of people. You just don't know. But all that you have to do is say, God, I'm willing. I'm willing. I want to give myself to you. And help me, Lord, if my prayer altars is broken, today help me to repair it. Amen. And I offer myself as a living sacrifice, and I ask your fire will come and burn me. Amen. Amen. This church, let's repair our broken altars and pray, and God will send you revival. I'm sure the moment you move into that church, the church is going to double, triple, and many people, and it's going to fill up. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so as we stand, the musicians, will you please come? All right, we want to sing a song of worship. And as we sing a song of worship, this altar is open. I'd like to ask the pastors to come, all right, to minister, to pray for the young people, old people, whatever it may be. Let's just come to the Lord and say, Lord, I offer myself to you. And help me to build my broken altars so that I can experience Jesus in a wonderful, wonderful way. Amen.